This is Dr. Bill Lampton, the Speech Coach for Champions. Join me weekly for the Speech Coaching Radio Show right here on EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and/or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we're with Virginia Shampoo-Sokoloff, the co-owner of Mortimer Snodgrass, a funky and unique gift store in Montreal, Canada, that is celebrating its 10th anniversary. Thanks for joining us today on Enterprise Radio.
Excited to be talking to you, Eric.
Well, I am too. This is exciting for sure. So you're now celebrating 10 years in business this month. What are the two main reasons for this longevity?
Yes, 10 years indeed. It's kind of hard to believe. I think the two keys to our success have been our product selection and our absolute love of what we do. We hone our product selection. We make sure that everything that's in the store is something that we would buy for ourselves or buy for somebody that we know. So if we don't love it, it doesn't come into the store. It doesn't matter how hot a seller reps promise it's going to be. If I don't absolutely love it or I don't know somebody that would love it, I don't buy it. And we love what we do every day. There's never a day, no matter how stressful it is or, you know, no matter what external pressures are on us, that it becomes overwhelming. And the day that we stop loving it is the day that we're going to have to stop growing and let it go.
Just the way you describe that makes me want to visit your location like yesterday. So how have you overcome macro environmental factors referring to recession and Montreal's infrastructure issues, mostly that are beyond your control?
Yes, well, in 10 years, we've had some hiccups, but the last year for sure has been the most challenging for us because the beginning of the recession didn't affect us too much because we found that if people only had $20 to spend on a gift, they would rather buy something that was more original and unique than something mass marketed that they can find anywhere. So we were still a niche. Even at the beginning when people were spending less money, they were trying very hard to make that small amount be more meaningful, and we were the place that they would come to, whether in person or online. However, this year, the cities had some issues in our area. The street was closed for almost 6 months where people physically had to cross over barriers to get to the store, and that was very challenging. We had to be very mindful of our price point. We had to cut back on some of the higher priced items that we used to sell just because we loved them, knowing that we weren't really making a buck on them. I mean, we loved having them in the store, but this is not what our customers were looking for, and we had to cut back on some of those. And we had to find alternatives. I mean, we faced a Canada Post strike for almost 2 months, and so our website effectively was shut down. We couldn't ship, but we didn't want to lose those customers, so we looked for alternative methods, and we shipped via other transports, which is much more expensive than the Canada Post option. But the cost of the shipping was worth it to us versus the cost of losing those customers. So it was seamless. The customers didn't even know that we were paying more than what we were charging them, but we wanted to offer them that excellent customer service. And if the customers made it to the store via all the construction, we made sure that we had all our extras that we always offer regardless, which is the free gift wrapping, and we offer to ship to people. We get a lot of travelers in Old Montreal, so they want to buy things, but they're limited, as you know. It's nearly impossible to travel nowadays with luggage, and they don't want to carry stuff home. So we'll say, you know, well, you bought it here, let us ship it to you. And sometimes it costs us money, but those people became repeat valued customers. And by doing all these little extras and finding alternative means of communicating with our customers via the social media, we were able to get them to know that we were still there behind the barriers. And, you know, Montrealers who could have come to the store ended up shopping online, and now they have become regular online shoppers. So it's been a juggling act for us, but I'm happy to say the street is reopened, people can come into the store, and the online business is doing well, and Canada Post is back, so we're good.
Well, I do a lot of interviews with a lot of people, and I tend to not go to their Facebook location until after, you know, I've heard their story. And I'm telling you, I haven't even finished this interview, and I'm already on your website, Mortimer Snodgrass Facebook location, giving you the thumbs up without a question. Obviously, you're an entrepreneur at heart, or you would not have created what you have accomplished here. So what's the best and worst thing about being an entrepreneur?
Ironically, it's the same thing, which is the scheduling. My husband and I work together, and we have two children, and I can say that I have been home every single day that they have come home from school. We're home for dinner as a family 5 nights a week. We've never missed. And the ability to split my schedule in half, which is that as soon as the kids go to school, I go to work, I get the work done, then I serve the customers until the kids get out of school, and then I have staff that covers the afternoons and evenings and weekends. Our family life has been unbelievable, and my kids go to bed early. I get to do all my online, my Facebook, my Twitter, all my other stuff from the comfort of my own home later on. The flip side of that is that when the air conditioner breaks on a Saturday or when a longtime staff member quits on a Friday before a long weekend, I'm the one, or my husband is the one, that has to go in for the weekend. So it's the best and the worst. However, there's a lot more better than there is worse. And in 10 years, there's been very few times where we've had emergencies where we've had to, you know, run in and take care. But it does happen, and the stress does, you know, pour over into our family life. But the benefits far outweigh, and the fact that we have this amazing opportunity to watch our children every single day, and they don't really know that we work, in a sense, because we only work while they're at school. And so it's fantastic.
You gotta love being an entrepreneur. Today we are with Virginia Shampoo Sokoloff, the co-owner of Mortimer Snodgrass, a funky and unique gift store located in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, here on Enterprise Radio. You are partner in biz with your life partner. How do you manage this and keep all the aspects good about your relationship?
Divide and conquer. Play to our strengths. I'm definitely the creative one, and my husband is a lawyer by trade, so he's much more the analytical and business. So from the very moment when we started, the only thing that we shared is the buying. Everything else we divided. So I take care of the store locations, the HR, the employees, and he takes care of the contracts and, you know, the negotiating of the exclusivities, and he's in charge of the customs because we bring everything from all over the world. So he does all the paperwork and I make everything look pretty. And the other thing that we do is we don't physically ever work together. We alternate days, we alternate times. If one of us works in the morning, the other one works in the afternoon, and we always make sure to keep all our communications the same way that any business would, which is either to have meetings or to email each other. But we don't discuss anything at the dinner table. We don't take a long drive to the country and discuss, you know, where the store is going. When it's family time, it's family time. And when it's work time, it's work time. And over the years, we've brought in a manager who works for us, who's been there for a while. And we use our store as the tiebreaker, you know. If we both do product research, we both pick what is going to be in the store, and the rule has always been that it has to get two people to like it. So if Jay and I don't agree on something, our manager Danielle is the person who's going to weigh in with one or the other, and as long as two people agree, then we move forward, and it works for us, and it keeps the family at peace and the work moving forward.
So what's been the most important lesson you have learned about human resources and staffing?
I have to admit that staffing is sort of the part that we find the hardest as small business owners. We're a couple, you know, we think of the store as an extension of our family. And in the early years, the first staff members really were sort of family members. We were in our early 30s. The employees tended to be university students. And so, you know, we'd had barbecues, we invited them to spend weekends with us, and really they were invested in helping us grow the business, and we stayed friends with these people as they moved on to careers, and they still come see us, we write them recommendation letters. But now there's a bigger divide in age. We are now in our 40s, and the university students are still in their 20s, and the connection is not there the way that it was then, and also it's a much bigger business now, and the numbers are important to us, and to have employees that don't really care and that are working for minimum wage and are not really invested in the company is difficult. So one of the things we've learned is that sometimes if you see a spark in someone, if you see that they have an interest. For example, we tend to hire a lot of art students, and we get them to do the window displays. We get them to give us some ideas about the store layouts, or we are in a bilingual part of Canada. Everything has to be translated. So if we have French-speaking employees, we'll give them the English products and say, you know, Do you have some good ideas for making this funny in French? And by getting them invested in not just serving the customers, but in helping improve the business and take us forward, we get more out of them, but we also get to keep them longer, and they feel more like part of the business. And one of the things that my husband always says is it used to be incredibly difficult to fire people because we got close to them and we had a hard time. And now that we're a much bigger business with a brand that is recognized and a website that is quite international, sometimes we just have to pull the Band-Aid and say, you know what, you're just not the right fit. It's not personal. We made the mistake because we probably shouldn't have hired you in the first place, but you're not right for us, and we got to let you go. And it's not fun to have to fire, but in 10 years later, I have to say we weighed that option a lot less long than we used to, whereas it would take us 3 to 4 months to make up our minds 10 years ago. Now, within 3 days, we know if somebody's going to be good or not, and we can let them go. And we look for people that are going to be invested in our business the same way that we are, because really, it's our life. It's 24 hours a day all year, and you have to find people that are going to care not as much, it's not going to be possible, but that are going to care a little bit. And if they don't care, they just shouldn't be there.
In conclusion, what advice could you lend to the entrepreneur that's wanting to start a business or initiate a creation or an idea to the marketplace?
What I want to say is follow your gut. We had no idea what we were doing. We just had this little glimpse of a thought of the family life that we wanted to have and the kind of things that we liked to have in our house and how we had traveled everywhere to find these things. Why weren't all these things just in one place? And we went for it. We literally quit our jobs, rented a space, slapped some money down for the first year's rent, and took a chance. And people thought we had lost our minds. People were just aghast that this is what we were doing. And now when you put a big sign on the window that says happy 10th anniversary, people have to respect that. And every decision that we've ever made has been with our gut. We've made some mistakes and we've learned from them, but deep down inside, we always knew which was going to work and which wasn't going to work, whether it's the locations, the growth, the slight reorganization that we did last year, the growing the online. Every decision that we've made has always been from our gut. And sometimes people spend too much time evaluating and studying and market research. If you know it, just go for it. You can't, of course you could lose, but you have to take a chance, and you have to be willing to put yourself out there. And more often than not, the rewards are going to be there at the end.
She is Virginia Shampoo Sokoloff, the co-owner of Mortimer Snodgrass, a funky and unique gift store in Montreal, Canada, that is celebrating its 10th anniversary. The website is www.mortimersnodgrass.com. Virginia, thanks so much for joining us here on Enterprise Radio.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Eric.
Ours as well. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, and we thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to EPN.